Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our time of worship, if you're here in person, or welcome if you're on Zoom. And if you're listening in at a later date, then we're glad that you have come to listen to this morning's time of worship. May you find it a blessing to you. Got a few notices, just a couple. First off, this week, 20th Wednesday, members' church meeting. Don't forget that. Lots of things to talk about, lots of exciting things. Secondly of all, I want you to remember next Sunday is a bring and share lunch. And there is a sign-up sheet in the notice on the notice board in the meeting room. Put your name down on it, and if you wish to bring something, then you can see what other people have put on there, and you can find something, I'm sure, that you might like to bring. But even if you aren't able to bring something, don't let that stop you coming. The more people that stay in and enjoy fellowship together in the bring and share lunch, the better it is. It's always a joyful time. And lastly, when we finish today and you go out into the meeting room to get a cup of tea and a biscuit, you're going to notice that there are some plants out there, some flowers and planted boxes and goodie bags. Our young people are going to be making these up today as part of our Mercy Ships giving appeal. So all the money raised is going to Mercy Ships. So dig deep in your pockets and enjoy what our young people have created today. Okay, our time of worship. Let us just offer up this time to God as we come together. Most merciful God, we gather here in the name of Jesus, your Son, who died for us, redeeming us, and inviting us to the heavenly kingdom. Today we have come to worship you with all our hearts, with all our being. We've come to worship you in the Spirit as your children, Lord. Enable us to encounter you today through your Spirit, that we might grow stronger, closer, and more devoted to you. Bless this time of worship, and may all that we do be honoring and glorifying to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The psalm I picked this morning was Psalm 112. It says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. We worship a generous God, and this morning's theme is going to be about giving to God. Giving to God. A faithful God. He's generous to us. He gives in abundance. He's promised that he'll give us all that he needs. All that we need, sorry. And he calls us to join him in blessing others as we give in his name to those who are in need. So in a minute, we're now going to have a time of worship with our music group. So if they would like to come up.
Rain down on me, Almighty God. Shower me with your grace. Flood me with your mercy. For I am a dry and barren land, consumed by the rot of my sin, burdened beneath the weight of my transgressions. Pour out your loving kindness. Drench my heart with your presence. Renew my soul, refresh my purpose, reignite my passion. rain down on me as I own my iniquities. Rain down on me as I humbly confess. Rain down on me as I enter your presence. Rain down on me, Almighty God.
However you wish, we give praise to God for his never-ending provision. We sing Praises Rising.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you.
Praise, Lord, because you are a worthy God. You are a just God. You are a loving God. You are a kind God, and your generosity knows no end, Lord. So much so that you have called us to be your children, that when we accept the Lord Jesus into our life, we become children of the kingdom of heaven, Lord. What a beautiful thing that is, and what a privilege it is, Father God. We're going to lift up our voices, and we're going to lift up our praise.
Lift up your voices and lift up your praise. Join with the heavens, declaring the wonders of his faithfulness forever. Sing out the victory, the hope of the world. The Savior has risen, the Spirit has come to bring our sins to love forever. The people of God with the freedom of hope in our hearts. is love, this is love. And when the Father calls us home, and we see him on the throne, hear the voices sing as one, this is love, this is love. For we are the people of God with the freedom of holding our hearts, how great is the love of the Father.
Father God, we thank you that we can call ourselves your children. We thank you that you have such a great love for us, that you came on a rescue mission, Lord Jesus. A rescue mission to set us free and to place hope in our hearts. And so, Jesus, in return, you call us to you. So now we come, Lord. We place all our hope in you, Jesus. Nothing else, because it's your blood and righteousness that have reestablished our relationship with the Father. And we thank you. We thank you with all our hearts, Lord. Amen.
My hope is built. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest way, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same. Savior's love.
be seated, everyone, and the young people can go to their time together. Time of prayer with us now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that we can come freely today to worship you with no sense of fear or persecution. We thank you that you are a forgiving God, and we come to you knowing that you will forgive our sins. Each day we can have a new beginning with you. We offer our praise and adoration for all that Jesus has done for us, both as individuals and as a church. We pray, Father, that you will be with us in our service today, that we will be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit, and that we will have the confidence to start each day anew with you. We pray especially for those who are bereaved or ill today. We each have people in our hearts that we know about, and let's just lift them to the Lord in the quietness now. We pray for our brothers and sisters who face persecution because they acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, and pray that they will stand firm in their faith against persecution. We pray particularly today for our mission partners. We pray for Mercy Ships and the tremendous work that they are doing. We thank you for our visiting speaker who gave us such a wonderful picture of all the work that they do, all the medical procedures that take place that is done in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we want to thank you and praise you too for Whit and Helen Boone Deacon, who are our church BMS partners. We thank you that they are working in Hindu villages in Thailand, and we thank you that they have actually planted two churches already in villages which are thriving. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us. We pray that for the rest of our service, we will be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. We pray for all those who take part, and especially for Matt, that you will inspire him and lead him by your Holy Spirit. And all these prayers we offer in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Maxine's going to come and share with us our reading this morning.
It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 10. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God who generously provides all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. May God add his blessing to his word.
Thanks, Maxine. So as I said at the beginning, we're going to be thinking about giving to God. And including in giving to God, of course, lots of things we can give to God, aren't there? Lots of different ways in which we can give to God. Because one of those ways, of course, is in the pounds and pence that we have in our bank accounts. There's an old joke, isn't there, about this? About the vicar who stood up after the great storm of 89 and said, "Got some bad news, folks, and some good news. The bad news, the storm has taken the roof off of the church, and we can feel the raindrops on our head. The good news is the Lord has provided and told me that everything that we need to repair that roof, he has provided, and it's now in your bank accounts. Give generously, folks." Yeah. Tithing is one of those interesting conversations that we don't often have. And maybe, I don't know why that is. Well, we should talk about it more often. But there are lots of different perspectives on tithing. So I'm going to show you a video to give some thoughts on different aspects of tithing or different viewpoints on tithing. He says. Come on, there we go.
I give to God by enjoying what he has given me, okay? I mean, do you really think he expects something back? Now, I know there's a lot of people at church that would not understand this line of reasoning. That's why, just to make things simple and not to cause any controversy, I like to carry what I call the little empty envelope, all right? You see, when the plate gets passed, I bloop, put it in there like that. The deacon's counting the money. They only know me as the crazy empty envelope guy, but the people sitting around me, clueless. I win, they win, God wins. No one gets hurt because no one knows.
God knows.
Huh?
I only agreed to make this video if they promise not to tell you who I am. I mean, it's really none of your business. And it's also none of your business how much I give. I'm not going to brag about it, okay? I mean, yeah. It's cool. I just got married, and I have a kid, okay? And sure, you know, we get around. We're doing okay. But look, who I am and what I give is, it's between God and I, okay? I mean, the sacrifices I make are between me and God, and my reward is in heaven. So look, don't try to figure out who I am or what I give, because honestly,
It's none of your business. I tithe. Okay, that's a lie. I don't tithe. I want to tithe. That's a lie, too. I don't even think about it. But seriously, you think God's up there, like, with a big old checklist going, hey, you tithe, you don't tithe? I don't buy that at all. Okay, I kind of buy that. Because what I say, give to God what is God's and give to Caesar what is Caesar's? I don't even know any Caesars. That's a lie. I know four Caesars, even the little one.
Let me ask you a question, huh? How's your mutual fund? Hey, for that matter, how's all your funds? Has the fund left your funds, huh? Has your do-re-me taken a W-A-L-K, huh? What if I told you that I knew about an investment you could make that the return would be mind-boggling? And it's promised. It's guaranteed. I know what you're saying. There's no guarantees. This one's guaranteed, okay? Malachi 3:10. So it says in the Old Testament. It says, test me, give to God, and he will give you back. It goes like this. I give this, he gives this. I give this, he gives this. I give this. Right up there. He keeps giving. I can't outgive God. How crazy is that? Do I love him? Sure, whatever. I'm just saying, if you give, he gives back. Crazy, isn't it? It works, though. How do you think I afforded that house in Tahiti? Oh, what time is it? It's tithing time.
I tithe. But just not like in the form of a 10% check, per se. Let me tell you what I mean. When I go to church on a Sunday morning, they're selling donuts, I buy some. Boom, that's a tithe. When my whole Sunday school class wants donuts, and I, out of the goodness of my heart, buy a whole bunch for the Sunday school class, boom, that's another tithe. But it's not about me spending money. It's about the smile on people's faces. That, my friends, is tithe enough for me. Case in point, the church was having date nights where we could take our spouse out for an evening, and they were charging $25 for child care. Boom shakalaka tithe. I'll tell you what the biggest tithe was. When I spent over $100 on our meal, and my wife was grinning ear to ear, that, my friend's a tithe.
I would like to give. I would, okay? But everything right now is just crazy. I mean, just crazy, you know? I mean, not normal crazy, really crazy, you know? And if after I paid my bills and took care of the things that I need and want, then I would consider giving something, but not now is crazy. We're going to give later. We've already talked about it. I mean, down the road, we'll be crazy givers, but right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I have money. That's a fact. But you know what? It's a heart thing between me and the Lord and the pastor, because he needs to know what I'm giving now that we have this little building campaign going on, if you know what I'm saying. And pastor, I'd give a little bit more. I'd give a little something if you'd have that music minister sing a couple more hymns now and then, huh? Hey, what's this? Watch this. Is that a Benjamin? I think it is. Benji likes hymns. Come on. You want it? Come on, pastor. Do what I say, huh?
Oh, in my life, Lord, be glorified in me. I put money in the plate. Wait. Look what I have here. I hope it doesn't interfere. That everyone can hear how I give with cheer. That everyone could be like me.
Jazz hands.
Okay, so tongue-in-cheek look at people's attitude towards giving. But I think what we get from that, to a certain extent, is that we all kind of have a different view, don't we, about our giving, about how we give, why we give. So let's talk about giving, giving back to God. In a book by Rick Warren, goes by the name of A Purpose-Driven Life, Rick characterizes three biblical metaphors for life. He calls them life as a test, life as a trust, and life as a temporary assignment. I thought we would use these three headings this morning to have a look at what it is to give back to God. So life as a test. God constantly tests us. By experiencing difficulty, we have the opportunity to make good or bad choices. And through our choices, God then directs our path of transformation. The Bible is full of characters who are tested by God, aren't they? Some pass and some fail miserably. But all are strengthened, refined, or transformed by the experience of being tested by God. I think last week you looked at Esther. Is that right? Esther rises to the challenge, the test that God places before her. And out of strength that she receives from God, she is triumphant in saving her people. Giving is a test. Now, giving can be a real chore, but it does not have to be. In fact, God didn't design giving as a chore at all. It was designed as a blessing. The Bible tells us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Our perspective on giving then is crucially linked to our perspective of Jesus. Because he's our role model, isn't he? He's the one who we follow. It is directly linked to our perspective, or the perspective we have on our relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus was a wonderful giver, wasn't he? How often, as Christians, do we behave out of obligation? Think about that for a moment. How often do we say to ourselves, I know what Jesus expects me to do, so so I'll just do it. I know what everyone in the church expects me to do. Perhaps as a member of the church. Oh, yes, there's an expectation that I give to the church financially. So I will just do it. Even in our giving, if we give out of obligation, then something's not quite right. Our perspective on giving is not quite right. If you like, it's a test. We're beginning to fail. Jesus himself, as a human being, was tested. But he still gave. 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by Satan. But he didn't give in to those temptations. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus shares with his Father his anguish about what he knows is coming his way. But ultimately declares, "Not my will, but yours, Father, be done." Jesus was entrusted by the Father with your life and mine. And only by grace, only by the grace of God, he passes that particular test. Giving. This is the thing. Jesus giving the ultimate tithe, his life. So how should we respond to what God has entrusted us with? What can we do? How should we see what we have in the face of what Jesus was willing to give us? Well, this is where we come to life as a trust. God has entrusted us with a lot, hasn't he? We have much. Now, what will we choose to do with it? And when I talk about what has God given us, that's not just pounds and pence, perhaps, in our bank accounts. It's much greater than that, isn't it? God has given us gifts. Think about the character you have. Think about what you are naturally talented at. These are gifts. So what will we do with it? Well, first we must align our thinking, our perspective on possessions with the biblical teaching. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him." Can't really get that wrong from that, can you? Very straight. Nothing belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. There you go. How can you get that wrong? But is that how you feel? When you've spent a hard day at work, toiling, dealing with difficult people and difficult situations, complex, you're drained, you come home. You get a paycheck at the end of the week or the month. It is your reward for what you have given. And do we sit there and think, that's mine, that's my reward, that's what I have earned. It was my hands that did that work. Look, I've got the calluses to prove it. It's mine. In the book of Genesis, God instructs humanity to fill the earth and to subdue it. This is a test. But at no point does God hand over ownership of creation to humanity. God remains the owner. Everything, therefore, belongs to God. And all that we have is a gift from God. Even your character, your talents, your skills, everything you have required belongs to God. You know, I look out and I see many different people here this morning. Different gifts, teachers and carpenters, accountants, artists, musicians. But did any of you create the skills within you needed to become who you are? No, you did not. They were a gift from God. Therefore, we're custodians or stewards of God's gifts. You know what? When you pass away, God will give those gifts to somebody else. Everything I earn and every penny in my bank account belong to God. So when we give to others, we are sharing what God has first given to us. We are passing it on, aren't we? The receiver does not receive from me or from you, but from God. My giving, therefore, glorifies God. Twofold, in actual fact. Not only does my generosity bless others, but then they are able to praise God for what he has given to them. Knowing that they did not receive from me, but they received from God. And so in generosity, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of heaven comes near. Will we use the wealth and gifts God graciously showers upon us to further our own personal, temporary kingdom, in which only we are glorified, or will we use them to glorify God and further his kingdom? The Bible tells us that when Jesus sent out the disciples ahead of him to the towns and villages where they were going to be traveling to next, he gave them these instructions: go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. There is our instruction about how we should give. Freely as you have received. The action of giving is linked with the receiving from God. And the result? Kingdom of heaven draws near. It moves closer to those that are in need, to the sick and the demon-possessed, to the hungry and the dispossessed. There is no sense of hoarding some of that for the pleasure or gratification of the giver. It is about passing on love. The Bible also teaches us that there is a right way and a wrong way to give. Surely there can't be a sinful way to give, but in actual fact, there is a right way and a wrong way to give. Matthew's Gospel tells us, be especially careful when you are trying to be good, so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theatre, but the God who made you will not be applauding. Therefore, we must give in a way that reveals the source of our generosity as God. Then we will know, or then they will know, that God has blessed them too. How awful would it be for someone to look at us as a church and see the people that come through the doors and say, well, they're all right. God has been good to them. He's been gracious to them. Look at them. They've all got money in the bank. They don't go hungry. They don't struggle to pay their electric bills. They don't have any of those problems. Look at them. They're all dressed nicely and they all drove in a car and parked over in the co-op. How awful would it be if the people outside who were in need looked at us and thought that God didn't care about them because he hadn't blessed them in the same way that he's blessed us? Oh boy, there would be something wrong, wouldn't there, if they felt like that? We must give in the way that reveals the source of our generosity as God. The Bible says, when you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. Yes, you've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage. Acting compassionate as long as someone's watching. Playing to the crowds. Yes, they get applause, it's true. But that is all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, works behind the scenes to help you out. He does it quietly and unobtrusively. So giving becomes an action of love. And out of love, there is joy. Our passage today says, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, gratefully. I think the key to this here is understanding, is getting your own heart and mind in the right place about what it is that you have been given stewardship over. When we start thinking that we are worth something, that we are worth something and we should have something for ourselves, then very quickly we begin to slide towards selfishness about what we're going to do with what we see as being ours. Now, don't get me wrong, God does not call us to give to the point where we are in hardship ourselves, but giving becomes a heavenly way of creating equality in our society. How awful it would be if we were to sit here and have a banquet next Sunday at a bring and share lunch if somebody else sits with nothing in their fridge. Yet the reality is that will probably be true. Somewhere in Desborough, there'll be somebody with nothing. And God cares. In fact, I believe the Lord weeps when he sees somebody in so much need and nothing is being done about it. So don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure from others, because God loves a person who is a cheerful giver. In the same way, you know, our Lord Jesus acted out of love for each one of us. He took the cruelty and shame of crucifixion upon himself. He took our sin. It is, was, and always will be his greatest gift, so that you and I might know the true depth and breadth of the love of the Father. The Bible says, suppose I give everything I have to the poor. And suppose I give myself over to a difficult life so that I can then brag about it. If I don't have love, I get nothing at all. If we give for our own sake, for our own reward, there is no glorification for God. We simply glorify ourselves. And to glorify ourselves actually is a form of idolatry, which is a sin. So how do you feel about your wealth? Let me remind you that it's temporary. Our life here on earth is temporary. And that brings us to our final metaphor here. Life as a temporary assignment. If everything we have is on loan for a short stay in this life, when we pass away, God will pass it on to others. Therefore, it's crucial that we have the biblical view of our wealth, possessions, and gifts from God. Because that correct view empowers us to make choices based on an honest perspective of God's giving to us. I always say there's only one thing that you can take from this world into the next, and that's your relationship with Jesus. Nothing else is going with you. So what about our tithing then to the church? Yes, it costs money to run the Lord's house. There's Desborough's Lord's house, if you like, our Lord's house. And it costs money to run this place. So I'm going to give you a couple of facts. because I think facts are good, because we should pray with facts. If we need £6.82, we should say, Lord, we need £6.82. Well, do you know how much it... If I asked anybody, apart from Andrew, where is he? Apart from Andrew, anybody have a guess how much it costs to run our church per month? Yeah? And I'm not including our very expensive ministry and training fees. Okay, I'm just talking about, and I'm not talking about the fact we put new doors in and new heating. Forget those things. I'm talking about just the overhead of the church, the function of the church for 1 month, what we do. How much do you reckon it costs? 4,000. Whoa. Anybody else want to have a guess? Come on. You need to have your perspectives right about these things, because if you don't have your perspectives right, how can you pray for the right things? How can you behave in the right way? How can you respond if we don't understand what this actually costs? Right, I'll tell you. It costs £6,625 every month to keep DBC open and functioning as we are. That's what it costs. To have building blocks and the warm welcome space and Sunday services, to have the heating on and the lighting on, to pay for the licenses so we can sing the songs and all of those things. That's what it costs. Right, folks. Here's what we're giving. Oh, dear. We receive £5,833 each month. We've averaged these out over the last 12 months so that we're being as accurate as we can. Look, this church is costing us more than we are receiving. We need an extra £792 per month. The good thing is the Lord has said it's all in your bank accounts. But seriously, folks, these are the facts. At the moment, we are paying our bills from our savings. And I don't think that's good stewardship. But do you remember the verse right at the beginning of all of this? He who plants a little bit, he who sows a few seeds only reaps a small harvest. He who plants lots, receive lots. My proposal is not that we somehow cut our spending, far from it. What I ask from you is that you go away and you consider carefully your giving. Because these are the facts. When our church gives out of love into our community, there is no confusion about God as the source of our generosity. The challenge of the church is to reach out into our community. It's not really here to provide a nice, lovely space for you. It is here to show God's love to those people that don't think God loves them. And it saddens me to think that there are people out there that don't believe that God loves them. He does. We're just not reaching them. So what in fact if we were to see funding God's work not as a burden or obligation, but instead as an act of worship. As we give in the same way that Jesus gave, let us reflect on the cross and all that was achieved for us through the death of Christ, the ultimate giving. Our temporary assignment in this world has an opportunity of eternal life, an eternal life with Jesus. There is an invitation paid for by Jesus for you and for me. We're going to come around the Lord's table in a moment so that we remember the price that Jesus paid, so that we might remember the value that Jesus placed on your life and mine. When we give, Remember what Jesus gave to you. And let him direct you. Your giving is between you and the Lord. Let him direct you in the way that he knows best. But never forget that your life was paid for with another life. The life of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Brian's going to come and play for us now. As we begin to consider and prepare ourselves to gather around the Lord's table. A hymn called, Come and See. Come and See. Come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wore. Soldiers mocked him, rulers sneered, as he lifts that cruel cross. Alone and friendless, now he climbs towards the hill. Let's stand and sing together. Please be seated, everyone. We gather around this table to celebrate life. The life of God in the world, made flesh and blood in Jesus, embodied in us. We come to remember that that body was broken. The hands that touched the untouchable healed the hurting and did no violence. The feet that got dusty along city streets and the lake shore. The arms that welcomed the strangers and embraced the outcasts. The legs that entered homes and synagogues and danced at celebrations. The eyes that blazed against injustice. They knew how to cry. And they saw the potential in everyone. And Jesus still sees the potential in each one of you. There was a belly shared with the table and laughed. There were lips that wove stories and painted pictures of a new community and a better world. And that's the world that Jesus wants us to help him create today and tomorrow. We remember a blessed body that was broken and abused and rejected. We come to remember, for we are called to be the body of Christ. And this is the Lord's Supper. As you, risen Christ, remember our lives, so we remember you. Not only at this table, but in our life together, Jesus. May we embody your kingdom and remember your life in the world. Let's bow our heads. O God, we give thanks for this bread and wine, a timeless reminder of the flesh and blood life of Jesus. Broken, rejected, yet unstoppable. In Christ we see a life that could not be ended by death, a purpose that could not be silenced by the forces of violence, a desire deep within for the transformation of the world. So as we eat this bread and drink this wine, Lord, we thank you for the acceptance and tenderness with which you have transformed our shame into dignity and loved us into life. We thank you, Lord, for cherishing the potential in each one of us and calling us to be partners in your vision for this world. So as we eat this bread and we drink this wine, we call on your Spirit to come alongside us, so that together, in the company of your Spirit, we may give ourselves afresh to the task of remembering you, of being the body of Christ, of living your life in this world. Amen. Can I have my two servers, please, this morning? This broken bread that we share is the body of Christ. It is a sign that we all live together as the community of Christ. Let all who seek Christ take and eat this morning. As we receive the bread, we eat and we make a personal remembrance. When we receive the cup, we'll retain the cup and we will share that together. You want me to break the bread? Not in my plan, but there you go. This cup that we now drink together is the wine of the kingdom of God, the sign of God's undertaking for the life of the world. Let all who sink Christ take and drink. We drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ until he comes again. Amen. So we have taken bread and wine into our bodies. Now may these hands be the hands of Christ in the world. May they do no violence. May these eyes see those who are overlooked. May these ears listen to those who are unheard. May these voices be raised for their voiceless, lest our songs of praise be empty ones. May these feet take us where Christ leads, and may these hearts and minds be open to your spirit. Christ has remembered us. May we remember Christ. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn together. Talking about giving, what gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. Let's stand together and sing. Gracious and loving Father, we give thanks for your provision, for everything that you have given to us. You have poured out into our lives so abundantly, Lord. And so if we leave this place now, and we carry you in our hearts, Lord Jesus, throughout our week, may we too be prompted to give generously, to give out of love as you gave out of love. And may your plan for transforming the world, Lord, come alive through our living. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Have a blessed week, folks.